This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And good afternoon, everybody. It is the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today on this April Fool's Day. It is April 1st, 2024.
If you know that. I forgot.
April Fool's.
Wow.
It's April Fool's.
It got me.
Well, you forgot it because you're over the age of 13. Anybody you know who continues to celebrate April Fool's as an adult is probably more of a
fool. I don't want to go off topic, but what's your best April Fool's prank?
Of all time?
Yeah, of all time.
Well, when you were a kid, of course, you put Vaseline on the toilet seat and watched your parents slide off. But, you know, you better be able to run because they're not going to be happy about that. And the older they get, the more likely they are to break a hip.
I couldn't tell you my favorite one. You know the little spray hoses on the sink?
Yeah, spray. You put a rubber band around
yes,
one?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I got my dad so bad he didn't know what happened.
Yeah. And that is a great way to affect your relationship with your parents forever, I say. So it is April 1st today. We are live in studio. If you've got friends, if you've got questions, feel free to give us a call. If you have friends,
good, have for, questions.
You. Good for you. And
if you have questionable friends.
Try to get them to listen. So again, 508-673-1480 is the call-in line, 508-673-1480. It was Easter yesterday, and I think that's always good. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of getting together and having a nice meal and thinking about bigger things than yourself. So hopefully you had a chance to do that yesterday with family. I know I did, and it was always and is always enjoyable, especially when I do all the cooking, which means I get to do all of the eating. It was wonderful. So as we start the show today, the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 are all down slightly, but they're down. You know, the nice thing about having the market so overvalued is that, you know, when the Dow drops 200 points, it's not even 1%. So right now the Dow's down about 200 plus points. That equates to about a 0.15 loss as of right now, not even a full 1 percentage point. And that's the same trend we're seeing in the S&P as well as the NASDAQ. So I thought we'd talk about things that I think we don't sometimes have time to talk about during Easter and Thanksgiving and all these other holidays and, you know, barbecue events coming up this summer. And it's financial literacy, financial education. And I think sometimes in our business, people don't ask questions because they're afraid that they will be thought of as being less than intelligent. And, you know, it's funny when I deal with a carpenter or a plumber or an electrician or someone who's delivering something to me, I ask questions, a lot of questions, because I don't know the answers. And, you know, my mother raised me with the analogy or the thought pattern that the only dumb question was the one you didn't ask. And I think it's more important than ever that we talk about financial literacy on the show, because ultimately we're not getting the education we think we are in the schools.
No.
And schools, you know, my wife being a teacher, so I have some firsthand knowledge in that, they're focused on testing, which they're required to focus on. And as a result, their schools are ranked and, you know, funds are distributed all based on test scores. And if you do poorly enough on your test scores, the state will come in and take over your school and run it for you. So obviously these school systems are very, very motivated to have high test scores. And I think that's a good thing, but I think it also takes away from, you know, the common sense, the common knowledge approach. You know, my son's 15 years old. He's a freshman in high school now, and he can do his homework like the best of them. He's got great grades, thank the Lord. But ultimately, he gets a lot of his homework done on his phone, and it drives me crazy. He's doing homework on his phone, and when you tell him, don't do that, he's like, this is how it's done. It's all done on the phone. Phones are great. They're computers. They're literally thesauruses, and they're encyclopedias, and they're
dictionaries.
They're everything you want them to be, but they're also a quick way to get answers that you don't really know how to get. You're just getting the answer because you're good at research. You're not really good at understanding why the answer is what the answer actually is. And that's where I feel my son is now, is that he's getting great grades on his homework, quizzes, tests, etc., but he's not really understanding the process of how they're getting to the answer, as opposed to just getting the answer and then moving on to the next question. So with that said, it kind of got me started thinking about how financial literacy or education affects my clients and affects my clients' children and my clients' grandchildren. And it's pretty profound when you think about it. So anyway, according to the National Financial Educators Council, 15 to 18 year olds scored an average of only 64% on a financial literacy test recently given, and 51.3% of the participants actually failed the test. That was a 50 or below average on this financial literacy test. They failed it. 64% scored a average, and 51% of those actually failed the test. States with the lowest financial literacy scores were Delaware, Arizona, Nevada, and Arkansas. States with the highest financial literacy score were West Virginia, Hawaii, New Mexico, and Massachusetts. Now, I find it interesting, it wasn't all New England states, or it wasn't, you know, states that you would consider to be higher income levels or higher education levels per se. So why the states with the highest literacy were West Virginia, Hawaii, New Mexico, and Massachusetts is sort of beyond me, but I guess it must be they're focused more on it in the schools than the other states not on that list. In other young people news, the New York Times reported, based on recent test results, American students in the third through eighth grade during the pandemic, that students in districts that had the most remote or hybrid learning experienced a 62% larger decline in math test scores than those who spent the least time outside of the classroom. And what I'm really trying to say, it's a little bit non-succinct, but the more time you spend outside the classroom, or the more time your kids spend outside the classroom during the pandemic, doing this hybrid learning, or doing, you know, non-in-person learning, the worse their scores responded. And I believe that. You know, right now I've got a situation with a client of mine who's child is acting up in school. They're looking for alternate placements, which means they're going to find another place for this child to attend school. And in the meantime, they're providing this child with 1 hour of one-on-one aid per day. And as I told that parent, 7 hours of in school does not equal 1 hour of one-on-one. It just does not. And that's what's happened is, you know, during the pandemic, we all were forced, because of COVID, into these less than ideal situations. And, you know, whether it was you were forced to work from home or I was forced to close my office, the reality is our kids suffered, and a lot of them suffered silently, and they suffered in ways that we are still dealing with, whether it's emotional, physical, mental, and of course, educational situations. And right now we're seeing the results of that, where our kids are having, poor financial literacy scores because, again, they're not being taught in the tests, they're not being taught in the schools. And unfortunately, this is sort of the trend that's been going on for some time, and we continue to see that now, and the pandemic, I think, just exacerbated it. So what's this really mean to you? Well, In my opinion, my humble opinion, it means that the general and current generation of retirees and those people nearing retirement are being put under more pressure to help out their adult children financially than ever before. You know, a lot of us have children, a lot of us have grandchildren, and our natural urge is to help. And we want to help our kids. And I probably have that discussion at least once a week in my office about a client who's in there because they want to help their kids, whether it's buy a home, whether it's help pay for college for the grandkids, whatever the case may be, they want to help. And I have to be the bearer of bad news and explain that helping is not always going to be the best option for you, because ultimately what you're doing when you're helping is you're taking assets that you plan to use later on for your probably retirement, and you're going to give away those assets in generally large chunks because you want to help, and that's okay. But you know, the question I ask my clients is, are you sure you don't need this money? Are you sure of that? And oftentimes, like, I don't know. I'm not even retired yet. I'm only 60 years old. I don't know. Well, I need the money or not? I'm like, I don't know. But if you live to 90, my guess is, my bet is, you will. And it's going to feel great to help your kid pay for college, but what if you can't pay for retirement? What are you going to do then? And, you know, oftentimes I get a blank stare, like, I don't know. And then we start talking about gifting and tax rules. And they'll say, you know what, I know what, the IRS says I can give so much money a year under the gift tax rules. And I'll say, that's right, you can give money away every year under gift tax rules. But what about the five-year look back when it comes to Medicaid rules? And they'll say, I didn't think about that. I'm like, well, if you're gifting money away at 70 years old or 75 years old, what if in the next 5 years you get sick and end up in a nursing home?
They want that money back.
They want that money back. There's a five-year look back. So gifting is really something you have to think about. And I think about our generation currently of retirees. They're being put under more pressure than ever before because their retirement is going to cost more than ever before because of inflation, often caused by, you know, a lot of it caused by COVID, no doubt. But we don't see inflation going away anytime soon. Yes, it'll go down, but it's never going to go back to where it was before COVID, I don't think. So, you know, as we talk about the topic of today's show, I really want to talk about how retirees are affected by financial literacy issues in schools, ultimately affecting all of us, because if our children are not well enough educated in financial concerns, how to save their own money, how to you know, create a budget, etc., then chances are you're going to end up doing it for them one way or another. So we'll take our first break and come back strong. But again, if you need help retiring successfully, give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first five callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom-designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome to the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you have questions, feel free to give us a call. 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. Again, 508-673-1480 if you'd like to be part of the show. For the break, I was mentioning that there was a National Financial Educators Council literacy test given, and 15 to 18 year olds scored an average of only 64% on the test, with 51% of participants actually failing the test. And it got me thinking about how, as a society, we're affected by our young people not having financial literacy. And, you know, as I said before the break, I think, in my opinion, Dave, the current generation of retirees and those people getting ready to retire are being put under more pressure than ever, because they're not only taking care of their aging parents sometimes, they're also having to deal financially with their adult children, who sometimes have a hard time leaving the nest. If they leave the nest, they come back to the nest, and oftentimes that ends up costing, you know, these people money that they could be spending on their retirement plans, you know, their vacation schedules, etc. That safety net we thought we had is actually not a safety net at all, and instead it's a potential financial burden. I was sitting with a client recently, and it was a good conversation. It was about college, and this family loves spreadsheets, and they brought spreadsheets in, and they talked about 7 or 8 different schools that this young lady would like to potentially attend, and it had including financial aid given, packages, and it also showed total over 4 years. And the ranges in tuition for the 4 years ranged from $70,000 or so on the low end to upwards of $885,000 on the high end. And of course, not being the one going to school, not being the one whose daughter this is, my first reaction is you go to the $70,000 one and you call it a day. Mm. But she had her reasoning behind it, and, you know, we talked kind of through it, and I said, which schools did you like the best versus the worst, and then why? And as we started to kind of narrow it down, we got to schools that were not the highest, not the lowest either, but were more in the middle range and had everything she wanted as far as the program went. The student aid package was good. She had been to the campus and felt comfortable on campus. So, you know, I think as adults, we always want to give our kids everything, but that's not the right answer. Our parents didn't give us everything. Why would we want to give them everything? We do it because we're overcompensating for something. I don't know what it is. I know in my household what it is. I work a lot of hours. So when I throw Ben stuff, my son stuff, that maybe he doesn't yet deserve or really need, I'm doing it to overcompensate for my fact of not being around a lot at night because I'm sitting with clients instead of being at the kids' basketball game or you know, baseball game, things of that nature. So I know we all overcompensate for different reasons, but you have to ask yourself, you know, is it really making your child, you know, your young child like I have, my teenage child like I have, or your adult child that you may have, I hope to have someday, you know, is it the right thing? Is it helping? You know, I remember a conversation I had with a client a long time ago. They called up and they said they wanted to take $30,000 out of their account to give their kids so they could buy a pool deck. And I said, what do you mean a pool deck? They said, well, they bought the pool, they got the yard, but they didn't save the money for the deck that goes around the pool. And it's $30,000. What do you think? And I said, well, it's not my money. But if you're asking my opinion, I think it's crazy. And they said, why? I'm like, because, you know, for them, they had $300,000 saved. And I said, quick math says, you're asking me, should I give my kid 10% of my net worth so that they can get a pool deck? And to me, the answer was a clear and absolute no, but it's not my money. And, you know, I don't make decisions for clients. I help clients make decisions, and I give clients education, and then they make the decision based on that. But, you know, in that case, that's a huge ask. You know, that's a huge ask. And as a child, I don't know if that's something I'd ever feel comfortable asking of my parents, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think as a society, we've gotten to a point where, yes, things are more expensive since COVID. Yes, inflation's real since COVID more than ever. But, you know, we don't want to necessarily pay for other people's bad habits. And I think sometimes when we bail our kids out, that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. So, you know, those people that are retired or close to retirement or in retirement already, and they're taking care of their aging parents, they're taking care of their sometimes adult children, sometimes grandchildren if their children are no longer able to serve in that role as guardian. They're, you know what they're called, Dave?
I don't know.
They're called the sandwich generation. And oh. And the reason being is because they're sandwiched in between two other generations. You know, if we think about how we were raised when I was growing up, I never really thought my parents were going to help raise my son. I didn't think that was going to be, you know, part of the equation, and it wasn't. And, you know, luckily, I guess for me, in a weird sort of way, I didn't get used to having my parents help out. I never expected them to help out. And when my parents both got sick and passed away, you know, quite frankly, before their time, my wife and I, yeah, we were emotionally affected, and it was very sad for everybody in the family, but we didn't lose our caregiver. We didn't lose our you know, babysitter. We didn't lose somebody who was helping to pay for private school or anything like that. So financially, we didn't really miss a beat. And from a child rearing standpoint, we didn't miss a beat either. So I think that, you know, that sandwich generation, we've got to do a better job of kind of putting our foot down and saying no, you know, saying there's a point where we're here to educate you. We're here to help you. But we're not going to do it for you, because ultimately, that makes you worse off than ever before. You know, there's an old expression from the old days, and it says, you know, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. And that's true, right? But if you teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. And that's really the approach I take with my kids. And I try to convince my clients to do the same with theirs, because you don't want your children to create bad habits and get used to bad habits. And you know, bad habits can be as small as, you know, wanting to have the best cell phone or wanting to have the best, you know, nightlife on the weekends. If you can't afford it, you can't do it. And, you know, something I've said on the show multiple times, you know, my wife and I, when we were younger, 21 years ago, our first wedding anniversary, we went to Wendy's. And we went to Wendy's because that's at the time what we could afford. We had a wonderful combo meal, and we were happy to be together. But, you know, we knew there would be more in our future, but we also knew that at the time that was the future we could afford. So we stayed within budget. And I think a lot of us now don't do that. We continue to rely on financing, interest payments, and we don't realize that we're sort of, you know, creating a slippery slope when we create a lifestyle that we're really not able to afford, because we get used to the finer things. And then, you know, who wants to go back to the less than finer things if you've gotten used to the finer things? I think it's hard for people to do that. So what is the sandwich generation, if you're wondering? It's people in their 40s and 50s and sometimes older who are caring for both elderly parents as well as their own children. It can be financially crippling and also emotionally crippling, because you're having to deal with, you know, issues that literally, you know, kind of sort of cross all thresholds, you know, whether it's young people who are, you know, worried about social media and what's happening, you know, in that aspects and how they can, you know, fit in, if you will. And then you're also dealing with older people who are aging and are worried about the cost of living going up. You know, will they have enough income, their medications, doctor's appointments and the like. And, you know, for that person who's got a full-time job taking care of two different generational, you know, sort of situations can be really, really difficult at any one time. So, you know, it's something to think about. And the best way to avoid being that sandwich generation is giving your kids financial literacy. The more financial literate they are, the better off they will be, which in turn, the better off you will be. So we'll take our next break and come back strong. Again, if you need help retiring successfully and you're not sure how to do it, you can give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates, and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. Before the break, I was mentioning the sandwich generation, that generation of people that is stuck between their parents, aging parents, as well as their children, oftentimes adult children, and they're sort of doing it all. They're helping raise their kids, they're helping raise their grandkids, they're helping take care of their elderly parents, and they're also holding down full-time jobs. So if you wonder why the stress levels in our country are so high, that could be part of it. I remind clients all the time, you can borrow to go to college, but you cannot borrow to retire. So keep that in mind as you think, you know, I want to help out. I saw an article over the weekend, and the question was, you know, is it smart to pull money out of my 401k to buy a home or make a down payment on a home? And the author agreed with what I would agree with, which is no, it's not. And the reason why is because that money compounding over time will add up to a lot more if you just leave the darn thing alone. And that's the same thing when it comes to helping out adult children. You know, if you're taking from your retirement, even if you have a sizable retirement account, it's not the money you're giving the kids that really affects it. It's what that money you give the kids would have grown to that really affects how your retirement will work. So I know that urge parents have. We want to provide for our children with more than we had growing up. The question I ask is, will you still be able to retire successfully if you do that? If you rob from retirement to fund someone else's life, you're hurting your chances of a successful retirement. Dave, do you remember the book, The Giving Tree?
I remember it, but I'm unfamiliar.
Yeah, it's a kid's book. It's a quick read, and I'd recommend everybody read it. And it's called The Giving Tree. I believe it's a Pulitzer Prize winner or Caldecott winner, something for a kid's book. But it was fascinating. And in the book, there's a little boy and a tree. And the boy comes to the tree and he plays under the tree and the tree provides shade. And, you know, eventually the boy grows. And what happens as the boy grows is he keeps coming back and asking more for the tree. So the first thing he asks is he asks for the tree's leaves and the tree gives him the leaves. And then he asks for the tree's limbs and the tree gives him the limbs, and then he asks for the, eventually he asks for the tree, the trunk of the tree, and the tree gives the boy the trunk, and before you know it, you know what's left of the tree?
A stump, it sounds like.
Just a stump. That's exactly right. There was nothing left. Books written by Shel Silverstein. He's a famous children's author. If you get a chance, read that book, and if you're smart, I would recommend you read it with your children, even if they're adults. Just to drive that point home.
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is that children will take everything you have if you let them have it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the truth. And it's not because they're wicked or evil or mean you harm. It's just they don't know better.
Yeah.
You know, my son, we were up in New Hampshire a couple of weeks ago. There was a snowmobile incident. It was a expensive incident. And my son doesn't really seem that remorseful to it because he's like, hey, mom and dad have the money. They can fix it. And the reality is, well, some things can't be fixed. One, a total snowmobile can't be fixed. And two, we don't want to spend our money on that. We want to spend our money on other things. But this is the way kids act is, you know, unfortunately, the moral of the story in that book, Dave, is that if you give your children everything, they will expect everything and more. And that's the hard part of raising kids and, you know, raising grandkids. For some of us, we've got to do a better job of driving the point home. You know, something I always say to clients and children of clients is, if you're smart enough to go to college, you should be smart enough to know where you can afford to go to college. So as I mentioned before, in the last segment, we talked about a client meeting I had where there was a spreadsheet and colleges were discussed. And I asked this young lady in my office, first time I had ever met her. She's a wonderful young lady, smart as can be. And I said, do you know the book, The Giving Tree? And she lit up and said, yes, I do. I know that book really, really well. And I said, great. Don't do that to your parents. Don't. And you know, I think it was something that she's smart, but she needed to hear it from somebody who wasn't her parents, because her mom and dad are going to give her everything that she wants if she asks. But I think having the discussion we had last week in my office, she's got a much better perspective of, you know, really what she's really asking. She's asking mom and dad to take from retirement to help her pay for college. And that's between them. It's not my business, of course. But what I'm worried about is if mom and dad follow through and take too much from retirement, they won't have a successful retirement. And that's the reality. So instead of us giving our children and grandchildren stuff, or worse, cash, we should be giving them knowledge. That's my opinion. Give them knowledge. And yesterday was a great example. You sat around the table and had some delicious food, I hope. Maybe yesterday would have been a great day to tell some stories, not about what current events, because that you're not going to learn much from that, but maybe talk about how money worked when you were younger and how you got your first job and how you saved and how you bought your first home and, you know, how you started a 401k and you didn't realize it would grow so quickly and it did, and now you have the money you need to retire successfully or already are retired successfully. Those knowledge stories, I think, mean more than just giving the kid or grandkids some stuff. You know, a lot of clients I have, they have college accounts set up, and I've taught them over the years, your kid's 2 years old, they don't really know much about gifts. So don't give them gifts. Have everybody in your family give money to the investment account.
There you go.
And that way you can put more money in when they're younger. It'll compound quicker as a result. And when they need the money for college or, you know, buying a first-time home or a car or something of that nature, they're more likely to have that money. You know, my son, he doesn't get it. He's 15 plus now. He's 16 and a half. You can drive a car, last time I checked, in Massachusetts. And I think he's got like $400. And he thinks he's going to get a car. And I'm like, maybe the tires for the car, but you're not going to get the engine and the gas can and, you know, everything else goes with the car. But right now he's at that age. So this summer is going to be a real wake-up call for him, because he's going to get a job. He's going to be paying mom and dad back for the incident on the snowmobile. And he's going to be saving money for his car, because I refuse. I will not buy him a car unless he has something to bring to the table to show me that he has sacrificed and worked hard enough to get it. You know, we all know somebody in our life who gets things handed to them. Ask yourself, are they really the kind of people you want your kid to grow up to be? And if not, then why would you follow the same type of approach with your own children? You know, it just makes sense not to do that. So I think it's hard. You know, knowledge is easy. It's something that's is easy to give. Some people it's hard to accept. But ultimately, knowledge is something that will make your children better off, your grandchildren better off. And it doesn't stop at, you know, the school ages. That continues all the way through the 30s and 40s and beyond. Because I can tell you right now, in my middle 40s, I think a lot differently about money than I did in my 20s, for sure, and even in my 30s, no doubt. So knowledge, when we talk about giving kids knowledge to understand how finances work, how to invest for their future, how to understand the difference between a job and a career. This is a huge one I deal with. You know, if you're somebody who's working and you don't have the chance for an advancement, well, that's a job. And unfortunately, you will never get paid as much as if you have a career. And I think of a career as something where you're getting steady and, you know, sort of predictable pay raises. And as a result, you know, you're growing with that job, and that's a career. You know, the jobs, I think, are really can be sort of dead end streets in a way, because, you know, it's great to go out and, you know, make $16 an hour, but ask yourself, can you afford to retire on that kind of income your whole life? Can you buy a home? Can you save for retirement? You know, can you buy the car you want? Can you save money for college and have children? I don't think so. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of us end up, is we sort of get into that job and we never really realize time is ticking by and we should be looking for that career position where we can get steady, you know, predictable pay raises, and the result will be better off financially as a result. You know, other things that we want to educate our children on is how debt and interest work. You know, many of us carry extremely high levels, especially since COVID, of debt. And the reason we do that is because we don't really understand how the interest rate works on that debt and how we're digging our hole deeper and deeper and deeper every time we use credit without the intention of paying it off at the end of every month. So, you know, if you can teach your children that, your grandchildren that, you're better off. Other knowledge points you can teach your kids are how new doesn't always mean better. I haven't bought a new car in 20 plus years. But I'm pretty darn happy. And I have money saved for retirement, and I have money saved for a rainy day fund, and I have money saved that my wife and I can access as needed, you know, and we have pretty good weekends. So, you know, not buying new allows me to have other money somewhere else that I can do something else with. So new doesn't always mean better, I think, is something that we need to teach our kids, because ultimately when we're young, that's what we think of. New is better. New's the best. I want new. You know, ask yourself this, your refrigerator from 20 years ago versus the one today. The one from 20 years ago cost less and probably ran a lot longer than the ones of today. So new is not always better. And then another knowledge thing we can teach our kids is how past financial mistakes can lower credit scores, causing us to pay more in interest, and the list goes on and on. So, you know, there's a lot of people I know, there's a particular couple I know in New Hampshire that they are always, you know, they're the woe is me couple. Woe is me, woe is me. Can you believe it? Oh my gosh, my car payment's so high. Well, your car payment's high because your credit stinks. Your credit score stinks. And the other reason your car payment's high is because you didn't put any money down on the down payment. So as a result, bad credit score, no down payment. Yeah, your payment's going to be high in a car. But if you were taught that when you were younger, maybe you wouldn't buy the new car. Maybe you would save more for the down payment before you went to purchase said car. Or maybe you would work on your credit scores to get them higher before you ask for financing. And as a result, you get a better credit score, you get a better financing number, you don't pay nearly as much as interest. You know, it's funny when you look at that, it's all connected and it all goes back to education and it all goes back to how you're raised. But I think as children and as young adults, we're starting to think that, you know, the internet, the TV, the computer, that's where the real knowledge comes from. When the fact is, you're sitting with people who have done this before. You're sitting with people who have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. But again, I tell my clients, the current generation is always wiser than the next and smarter than the last. In other words, the current generation, my son's generation, thinks he knows everything. He thinks there's nothing I can teach him. But yet, by looking around, I can teach him quite a bit. It's just, is he willing to learn, and am I willing to continue, even though I'm bumping my head up against the wall sometimes, am I willing to continue to teach those lessons even if I feel like he's not listening? And I'll tell you, in my household, I can't answer for you, but in my household, the answer is absolutely yes. I'll continue to teach those lessons, because if he just gets a quarter of what I'm saying, he'll be better off than if not. So that's my goal. So, you know, you don't want your kids to bankrupt you. And ultimately, that's what they will do. They'll bankrupt your retirement future. And again, it's not intentional. It's not. I don't believe that for an instant. But it is something that everyone does, because, you know, if the floodgates open and you're willing to give, then they're willing to take. And that's a lesson you need to teach yourselves as well as your kids, and explain why you're not going to give them everything they want. And you can do it in a way that will still preserve a great relationship. Just let them know that. And if you're afraid to do it, I've done it for clients for years. I'll tell them the truth, and that way you don't have to be the bad guy. I'm happy to wear the black hat if necessary. So with that said, we'll take our last break and come right back. Again, if you need help retiring successfully, you're not sure how to do it, or you've got children and you're not sure how to save for college, etc., you can give my office a call. We'd be happy to help. 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky high fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in the studio by David Brown. Before the break, we were talking about our children, the book, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. In the book, the tree in the book, one of the main characters in the story, gives and gives and gives unconditionally to the little boy, and the little boy continues to take until there's nothing left. Unfortunately, we all love our children and grandchildren unconditionally. Of course we do, but that in turn opens us up to potential financial ruin because we tend to give more than we should, and sometimes we give more than we can afford, and that in turn can leave us in the lurch when it comes to our own retirement funding as we get older.
Well, you would think they would know enough not to ask for such high amounts and pricey things or money itself.
Yeah, I think the system is skewed, though. You know, I've seen schools now in Massachusetts, I think three or four schools now in Massachusetts are above $90,000 per year, Dave. You're talking $360,000 for a four-year degree. That's assuming you graduated in 4 years and don't take the 4.5 or 5 year plan. So the reality is, I think these kids are put under pressure. The cars are more expensive. The cell phones more expensive. The clothes are more expensive. The social media influence is more influential than ever before. Colleges and the like, they're all trying to get the same dollars. And, you know, your kid really wants to go to that school in Boston. Well, you might be willing to help out. The question is, are you going to help out to the point where you can no longer effectively retire yourself? And some of us will do that. We will make that decision, I think, sometimes without knowing we're making the decision. So don't let your kids bankrupt your retirement future, as I said before the last break. They won't be able to help you when it comes to your retirement. They won't help you.
They won't even think about it.
They won't. They really, really won't. Remember that at most, your Social Security will provide you with 40% of your pre-retirement income. That's at most 40% of your pre-retirement income. Right now, you're living off about 100% of your income. So living off 40% does not sound like a great idea. The difference, that difference between what Social Security will provide you and what you're making now, that's what's going to be made up by your retirement savings. And if you're a regular listener to the show, we know we talk about the rule of 4% quite often. If you have $1 million in your 401k or IRA, that's about $40,000 a year. And if that's not enough, well, you're either going to need to save more, take a higher withdrawal rate, which risks the chance of running out of money sooner, or cut expenses somewhere. So, you know, none of the decisions are really that palatable to most people. A retirement savings you won't have if you give it to others. So that savings that you're going to use to make income, you're not going to have it if you're giving it to others, because, you know, before you know it, you will be 65. We're going to get there. And, you know, if you're a couple, married couple, age 65, both of you age 65, you have a 50-50 chance, 1 in 2 chance, that one of you makes it to age 90 and beyond. And that's important. You know, it's important to remember. So, you know, giving money away in your 60s doesn't seem like a big deal until you're 93 years old. I'm like, man, I really could have used that money back.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the people you gave it to, they spend it. And as Dave said, they're not even going to think that they should be helping out, because oftentimes they don't have the ability to do that. You need to take retirement savings seriously. If you have an IRA, try and max out contributions for 2024. Right now, that's $7,000 under age 50. It's $8,000 over age 50 with the catch-up. And if you have a 401k, the same message applies. Try to max out your retirement savings. Under age 50 right now in 2024, you can put away $23,000. Over age 50, you could do $30,000 with the catch-up. And I encourage everybody to try to make that their goal. Now, I understand you may not reach it, but it should be your goal. You know, goals aren't something that you necessarily reach with ease. They're something you really reach for and you work towards. That should be everybody's goal. Save as much as you can for retirement. You will have a better retirement as a result, and you will thank me later. It's okay to help your family out, but you must pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. What does that mean? It means fund your retirement first before you go give anything away. I recently had a client review, and this gentleman came in. He had his notepad and he had his laptop, and he's pretty slick. And he said, you know, I've maxed out my 401k. And I said, that's great. I do the same thing. And he said, that's great. What tips can you give me? And I said, well, the one tip I can give you, if you're already maxing it out, is why don't you put a higher percentage in every year? So if you're at 10% now, do 11 and then do 12 and 13 and 14 and so on. Every year up it. And he looked at me, he goes, but I'm maxing it out. I said, I know, but by doing that, you'll max it out quicker. And by maxing it out quicker, you'll get those dollars to work faster. And as a result, you will get a pay raise once you have hit your max, because that percentage will come back to your paycheck and then you can use it for something else, whether it's a vacation, whether it's helping your children out. So that's kind of the whole goal. Pay yourself first, then you can help out your kids later, making sure not to leave yourself short, because unfortunately, when you figure out you're short, it's going to be too late. You're going to want to retire. You're going to be older. You're not going to have the energy you used to, and you do not want to go to your kids for a loan because they won't give it to you like you gave it to them. So make your retirement your number one financial priority. Trust me, when you reach retirement age, you will thank me, because retirement is awesome. My clients who are successfully retired love it. They love it. I mean, it's awesome. They tell me where they're going, out to eat, travel, and I am jealous. And that's why I work as hard as I do to save for my own retirement. So with that said, I am Richard Bassett, J. Marshall Associates. We're a financial planning firm right in Fall River, directly across the street from the Watson School at 982 Eastern Avenue. Our phone number in the office is 508-673-3300. You can find us on Facebook, and our website is jmarshallfinancial.com. Again, office number 508-673-3300. What's new in the real estate world, Dave?
Always something new and exciting in the real estate world. I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. And a lot of people out there are looking for the perfect home. Well, guess what? It doesn't exist. Mm-mm. There's no such thing as a perfect home. In fact, I went to look at a house last week with one of my clients, and there was so much wrong with it, I couldn't believe it. I mean, first of all, it was like living on a postage stamp. The house was on a tenth of an acre, or that's what the listing agent listed it as. It had a failed septic system. It had a well that didn't work, which is probably has to be tested and put in a pump and make sure it's clean water, or else you don't have any water, or you have to put in a filtration system. I walked in, the door is wide open, swinging on the hinges in the wind. I go in, I look down the cellar stairs, and the stairs are gone. You can't go in the cellar.
Oh, boy.
But I could see water. So, okay, the sump pump doesn't work, if there even is one. I walked out into the living room onto the living room carpet. It was soaking wet and growing fungus. I told my client, you probably shouldn't even come in here. This looks just plain dangerous. And then and other stuff that was wrong with it. The driveway was on the property of the apartment building complex next door. So who plows the driveway? I mean, it's not even their property. And we couldn't find the property lines. So, and I'm like, I don't know how big this really is, because it's there's a huge yard mowed, but who owns it? And to get the driveway, part of the driveway was a bridge over a stream on the side of a hill. Now, who maintains a bridge? Imagine what it would cost to maintain a bridge.
No.
And I went to the GIS maps. That's geological information survey or whatever it is, and it tells all about the properties. It turns out this house is on a piece of property with another house.
Oh boy.
So there's all kinds of imperfections. Call me, I can help you find them. David Brown, realtor, High Point Properties, 508-277-3297.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.